By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajeem. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله. Good morning to the viewers of Rise and Shine. Today we'll start like usual by mentioning a blessing of sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned one hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, "Man salla alayya fi yawmin alfa marrah lam yamut hatta yura maq'adahu min al-jannah." That the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that whoever recites salawat upon me 1,000 times daily, he will not die until he sees his place of abode in paradise. MashaAllah, subhanAllah, what a beautiful way of getting paradise is by reciting salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Today, make an intention that inshallah today I will recite as much durood as possible upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Inshallah, now we'll go on to the tilawat of the Quran. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi وسلم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
میں اللہ تعالیٰ کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم.
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا.
يوم نقول لجهنم هل امتلأت وتقول هل من مزید.
جس دن ہم جہنم سے فرمائیں گے کیا تو بھر گئی, وہ عرض کرے گی کچھ اور زیادہ ہے.
وَأُزْلِفَتِ الْجَنَّةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ غَيْرَ بَعِيدٍ.
اور پاس لائی جائے گی جنت پرہیزگاروں کے کہ ان سے دور نہ ہوگی.
هَذَا مَا تُوعَدُونَ لِكُلِّ أَوَّابٍ حَفِيظٍ.
یہ ہے وہ جس کا تم وعدہ دیے جاتے ہو ہر رجوع لانے والے نگہداشت والے کے لیے.
من خشی الرحمن بالغیب وجاء بقلب منیب.
جو رحمان سے بے دیکھے ڈرتا ہے اور رجوع کرتا ہوا دل لایا.
ادخلوها بسلام ذلك یوم الخلود.
ان سے فرمایا جائے گا جنت میں جاؤ سلامتی کے ساتھ, یہ ہمیشگی کا دن ہے.
لہم ما یشاؤون فیہا ولدینا مزید.
ان کے لیے ہے اس میں جو چاہیں اور ہمارے پاس اس سے بھی زیادہ ہے.
وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ قرنهم هم أشد منهم بطشا فنقضوا في البلاد.
اور ان سے پہلے ہم نے کتنی سنگتیں یعنی قومیں ہلاک فرما دی کہ گرفت میں ان سے سخت تھیں, تو شہروں میں کاوشیں کی.
هل من محیص.
ہے کہیں بھاگنے کی جگہ.
ان فی ذلك لذکرا لمن کان له قلب او القى السمع وهو شهید.
بے شک اس میں نصیحت ہے اس کے لیے جو دل رکھتا ہو یا کان لگائے اور متوجہ ہو.
ولقد خلقنا السماوات والارض وما بينهما في ستة ايام وما مسنا من لوب.
اور بے شک ہم نے آسمانوں اور زمین کو اور جو کچھ ان کے درمیان ہے 6 دن میں بنایا اور تکان ہمارے پاس نہ آئی.
فاصبر على ما يقولون وسبح بحمد ربك قبل طلوع الشمس وقبل الغروب.
تو ان کی باتوں پر صبر کرو اور اپنے رب کی تعریف کرتے ہوئے اس کی باقی بولو سورج چمکنے سے پہلے اور ڈوبنے سے پہلے.
وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَسَبِّحْ وَأَدْبَارَ السُّجُودِ.
اور کچھ رات گئے اس کی تسبیح کرو اور نمازوں کے بعد.
واستمع يوم ينادي المناد من مكان قريب.
اور کان لگا کر سنو جس دن پکارنے والا پکارے گا ایک پاس جگہ سے.
يوم يسمعون الصيحة بالحق.
جس دن چنگھاڑ سنیں گے حق کے ساتھ.
ذلك يوم الخروج.
یہ دن ہے قبروں سے باہر آنے کا.
انا نحن نحيي ونميت والينا المصير.
بے شک ہم جلائیں اور ہم ماریں اور ہماری طرف پھرنا ہے.
يوم تشقق الارض عنهم سراعا.
جس دن زمین ان سے پھٹے گی تو جلدی کرتے ہوئے نکلیں گے.
ذلك حشر علينا يسير.
یہ حشر ہے ہم کو آسان.
نحن اعلم بما يقولون وما انت عليهم بجبار.
ہم خوب جان رہے ہیں جو وہ کہہ رہے ہیں اور کچھ تم ان پر جبر کرنے والے نہیں.
فذكر بالقرآن من يخاف وعيد.
تو قرآن سے نصیحت کرو اسے جو میری دھمکی سے ڈرے.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. That was the recitation of Holy Quran, the 15 verses, Surah Qaf, inshallah. We'll go through the translation of these verses in the English language. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, verse 30. The day we shall say to hell, are you full? And it will say, are there any more? Verse 31. And paradise will be brought close to the pious. It will not be far. Verse 32. This is what you were promised. It is for every person who often returns to Allah and protects. Verse 33, who fears the infinitely gracious unseen and comes with a penitent heart. Verse 34, enter it, i.e. the paradise, in peace. This is a day of eternal life. Verse 35, they'll have whatever they desire therein, and we have more. Verse 36, and how many nations have we destroyed before them who were more powerful than them? So they search in the cities crying out, is there a place of escape? Verse 37, in this there is counsel for one who has a heart or lends his ears whilst he is attentive. Verse 38, and we created the heavens and the earth, whatever is between them in 6 days, and no fatigue affected us in any way. Verse 39, so bear with patience what they say and glorify with the praise of your Lord before sunrise and before sunset. Verse 40, and glorify him in part of the night and after the prayers. Verse 41, and listen attentively, the day a caller will call out from a near place. Verse 42, the day they will hear a piercing cry with the truth, this will be the day of emerging from the graves. Verse 43, we grant life, we cause death, and to us alone will be the return. Verse 44, the day the earth will split open above them as they hasten forth, this gathering is easy for us. Verse 45, we know best what they say, and you are not an enforcer over them. So advise the one who fears my warning through the Quran. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Allahu Akbar. These were verses regarding the Day of Judgment and proving how we will be resurrected after death. And this is a great warning for us all that we need to prepare ourselves for this day. We should do those acts which will bring the happiness, will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not those acts which will bring the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, the one who fears, advise him how? Through the Quran. Advise that person bil Quran, fadhakkir bil Quran man yakhafu wa'id. That remember, advise the one who fears. How do you advise that person? Through the Quran. And this is how the lessons that we need to take from this part of the verse, that we need to understand the Quran. We have to understand the Quran, read the translation of the Quran, read the commentary, so that we know the advice that we need to do, so we know how to prepare for the afterlife, so we know how to prepare ourselves, what we should do that will bring the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What should we do that will allow us to enter paradise? Read the Quran, read the translation, and read the commentary. And inshallah, now we'll go on to the next segment, which is the Kalam. When we come back after the Kalam, then we'll talk further on this topic of the Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
يا رسول الله يا حبيب الله يا رسول الله وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ پھر اس کے ٹکڑوں کو جوڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے جو علی کی اثر قضا ہوئی تو وہ وقت پر ہی ادا ہوئی جو علی کی اثر قضا ہوئی جو علی قضا ہوئی تو وہ وقت پر ہی ادا ہوئی تو وہ وقت پر ہی ادا ہوئی چھپے آفتاب کو موڑ دے چھپے آفتاب کو موڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ پھر اس کے سکڑوں کو جوڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے رخ نار ان کے غلام کو لیے جا رہے وہ ملائکہ رخ نار ان کے غلام کو لیے جا رہے وہ ملائکہ رخ نار ان کے غلام کو لیے جا رہے لیے جا رہے وہ ملائکہ وہ پکڑ کے خلد کو موڑ دے وہ پکڑ کے خلد کو موڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ پھر اس کے ساتھ
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلي وسلم. الله سبحانه وتعالى in the Quran he said al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam dina. That today I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you, and I've chosen for you Islam as your religion. Islam is a peaceful, loving, and truthful religion. Islam is a truthful religion. And with a religion whose perfection is spreading fast across the globe. And Islam is one of those religions which is the fastest growing religion. Islam has the best rules, the perfect regulations. It has the best guidance for individuals. And a person can take advice from the Quran to do with every aspect of his life, like religious, worldly, and the hereafter. Moral, physical, spiritual, domestic, family, social, economic aspect of life. And all these things, when you read the Quran, they all show, they all prove that Islam is a complete code of life. And Islam is the only true religion. And as Muslims, as believers, we should be proud of our religion. We should be proud that I am a Muslim. Allah has granted me the ability to recite La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And Islam is the perfect religion. And Islam, it gives us the rights of how, it gives us the context, it gives us how we should fulfill the women's rights. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, O believers, it is not lawful for you to become the inheritors of women by force. And do not detain women with the intention of taking away a part of the dowry you gave them, unless they commit blatant indecency. And deal with them kindly. And if you do not like them, so it is likely that you dislike a thing in which Allah has placed much good. And Allama Qurtubi, Rahmatullahi ta'ala, he mentioned Tafsir Qurtubi, that before Islam, it was a practice of the Arabs that they would become the inheritors of their relatives' wives, just as they would become inheritors of their wealth. So they then either would keep them as spouses, so they would inherit the wife. So for example, if the relative passed away and the wife still there, they would take the wife as inheritance as well as the wealth. So then they would either keep them as spouses without giving dowry, or they would marry them to others and keep their dowry them for themselves. Or they would not let them marry further, but rather keep them with themselves so that they could get the inheritance from them when they would receive it. And only then would they free them. Another reason why they would prevent women was to become the inheritors when they would die. In short, the women would be completely helpless in their hands and could not do anything willingly. This verse was revealed to abolish this practice. Look how beautiful Islam is. Islam came to abolish all the wrong ethics that were taking place. The things which were morally wrong, things which were socially wrong, but were still done. Islam came to abolish everything. And Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, has stated that this verse is about the one who hates his wife and mistreats her so that she either returns a mahr or forgives it after becoming distressed. Allah Almighty has forbidden it, that one opinion that men would divorce women and then would do ruju, I turn towards them, and then again would divorce them. In this way, they would keep women unsettled. Neither could she live with him peacefully, nor could she remarry. So from this verse, we have proven that this is forbidden. Mufti Qasim, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him a long and healthy life, in Tafsir Sirat al-Jinan, he mentions that when you ponder over the conditions of the pre-Islamic era mentioned in this verse, the thought comes into our mind, do we not have the same conditions in our society? In our society, women as a wife is distressed, forced to forgive her dowry. Her rights are not fulfilled and she is mentally tortured sometimes. She is forced to stay at her parents' home and sometimes she is kept at home but her husband does not like her. She is scolded, reproached in front of others. She makes every possible effort to please her husband, but her husband behaves arrogantly like Pharaoh. New demands are clearly made from her family or through her, asking for something at one time and another thing at another time. In short, every type of oppression and injustice can be found in our homes. May these people who do this, they need to understand the Quran. They need to read the Quran. But even nowadays, there are some people in society, they do these activities. But we need to turn back towards the Kalam of Allah. The Kalam of Allah, we need to turn back towards it. We need to read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we need to understand, like I mentioned, the Quran gives us advice how to live physically, morally, socially, how to treat our parents, how to treat our children, our wives, our spouses. It talks about inheritance, it talks about death, it talks about paradise, it talks about hell, it talks about day of judgment. What has the Quran not talked about? But suddenly, if you go through any problems or situations, we go here, we go there, we go to this scholar, we go to that doctor, we go to that mental institute, we go to that doctor which is especially in psychology, we go to them, but yet we don't come back to the Quran. Reason being, because you don't understand the Quran. We forgot our way, we forgot our massive, we forgot that as Muslims, the Quran is our first guidance. Then the Quran, the Sunnah, the Hadith. Look at the read of the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And to make a person's home peaceful, it is mentioned that if a person, if a man, he doesn't like his wife because of her bad manners or because she's not beautiful, be patient. Do not hasten to divorce her, because it is possible that Allah Almighty blesses you with such children from this wife who will be pious and obedient, who will be a support for you during the helplessness of your old age. That's a message for the men watching this program. That treat your wives good. Even if you think your wife is not behaving good, just give her time. Don't divorce her straight away. She might be the means of you having a pious offspring. She might be the means of how you have a child who can become a scholar later on, who will help you when you're in your old age. And remember, before Islam, before we got this true religion, women were in a very, you could say, a very sad state. For men, women were nothing but a toy. And they were treating them like they were slaves. Women would give men whatever they would earn after working hard day and night. But the men would still not value the women. And also the Arabs, another thing that they used to do is that they used to bury their daughters alive. After the father's death, Stusa's sons would become the owners of the land and property left by the father. They'd also become the owners of his father's wife, forcing them to become their slave women. Allahu Akbar. The woman was not giving any portion inherited from a mother, father, brother, sister, or husband, nor was she allowed to be the owner of anything. When the Brother Rasul, the magnificent Rasul, the best of creation, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, arrived with Islam from Allah Almighty, fortune smiled on the mistreated women in the world. That's why it is said that the initial people who accepted Islam were women and slaves. Why? What was the reason behind this? The reason behind this was women were not treated good. Slaves were not treated good. But these people who were vulnerable, who had nothing, they heard the message of Islam and they realized that if we want help, if we want to get out of this oppression, Islam is the true answer. Islam is the answer for me and you. And that is for us as well. And those who are watching, and those Muslims who are watching, it is, we need to know, Islam is the answer. Never have any doubt regarding your religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is a true religion. Al-Islam. Al-Islam is haqq. Islam is true. And those who are watching, who have never pondered about any religion, if you're watching the program, just listen to how Islam changed the lives of women and slaves. Women were given their rights. Women were ordered to be given inheritance. Women were ordered to give dowry but not taken away from them. Women were allowed to work. Daughters were not buried alive. Slaves. The slave system was abolished. How? Because of Islam. Islam abolished the slave system. This is just a, you could say, just around 1% of how Islam changed society. And by the virtue of the blessing of Islam, status of women who were once the victim of oppression and injustice by cruel men, now these women have got a status. How? It's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it says that the paradise lies in the feet of the mother. Once upon a time, the same mother was oppressed, was under oppression, but now Islam has come and said that the paradise lies under the feet of the mother. And another way how women have granted status, it says that the women, they have been declared as a mercy. How? In the form of a daughter. Daughter is a mercy for the father. Your daughter is a mercy for you. Even if you have no sons, your 1, 2, 3 daughters, they're all a mercy for you. And this same woman, she has been given such respect and status in society which could never even be imagined in the past. In terms of acts of worship and matters, or rather in every stage of life and death, women have been given rights just like men. Hence, women have been given the right of ownership. They've been declared to be the owner of their dowry amount, their businesses, properties, and have been made inheritors of the inheritance left by their parents, brothers and sisters, children, husbands. Allah, the women have been given so many rights through the blessings of Islam. And parents, how does Islam advise parents? Like I'm saying, Islam gives advice about everything. And it's only for us to take that advice. Whether we take that advice or not, that's up to us. But Islam gives advice for everything. And for parents, no matter if your children are useless, they're disobedient, they are still the light of your eyes. They're still the coolness of your eyes. And parents are those members of society who have been greatly oppressed in every era. Children, disobedient children, forget the favors their parents have done and consider their ma'azallah to be like a burden. They treat their parents with even worse than servants. If parents advise their children for their betterment, children stare at them, scold them, taunt them, and threaten to expel them from the home. Even now, things have become so terrible that in some country, old people's home have been established to look after the parents who have been expelled. And as a Muslim, we know the rights of parents. We know what we need to, how we need to respect our parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we cannot even say uff to our parents. That's the amount of respect that we need to give. وَبِالْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. And treat parents with goodness. If one of them or both of them reach old age in front of you, do not say off to them and do not even scold them. And speak to them words of respect and spread for them the arms of humbleness with a soft heart and request humbly that, oh my Lord, Rabbi rahamhuma kama rabbayani sagir, oh my Lord, have mercy upon them both as they brought me up in my childhood. So, oh my Lord, have mercy upon them the way they had mercy upon me in my childhood, the way they brought me up as a child. Allahu Akbar. This is the status Islam has given parents. And it is said that do not cause any kind of inconvenience to your parents by any of your sayings or actions. Even if they oppress you to some extent, it is still obligatory for you to not hurt their feelings at all in all states. Respect your parents by every word and every action of yours and always take care of their respect. Obey the orders of your parents in every permissible action. If your parents need anything, look after them by using your time and wealth. If your parents take anything from your wealth and possession out of need, never mind it and nor express your anger towards them, but rather consider that you and entire wealth of yours are all belong to your parents. It is stated in the blessed hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Anta wa ma luka li abik." You and your wealth all belong to your father. And Islam has given such a respect and honor to parents that if a person accepts Islam, he's become a new Muslim. And his parents are not Muslims. It's still necessary for that new Muslim to still respect his parents. That's how much honor Islam has given to parents. If parents pass away, it is their right on children to keep making dua for their forgiveness. They should also keep conveying the reward of their nafal acts of worship and charity to their souls. So when parents pass away, it is our right as children to do isale swa for them. Keep doing favors to the friends of your parents. So your parents' friends, keep helping them as well. Pay off your parents' debts or act upon their wills after their death. Do not perform the act which used to cause pain to your parents when they were alive, even after death, as it will inflict pain on their souls. Do visit sometimes the graves of your parents, recite Fatiha at their grave, say salam to them, and make dua of forgiveness for them. These acts will please their souls, placing the reward of Fatiha in the then reward Fatiha, the reward to them. And this is how Islam has given rights to parents. And from this we understand again that Islam has given a code of life, that no matter where you are in life, no matter which situation, no matter, for example, you're studying, you're a student. In the Quran, there will be du'as which you should recite when doing exams. Now, your parents are married. The Quran tells us how we should respect our wives, honor them before we marry, so we prepare ourselves. And then we become parents. Islam tells us how to treat our children. And then Islam tells us what will be in afterlife, death, what to do, how the day of judgment will be, the descriptions of hell, the descriptions of heaven, paradise. It's like when you're born, from day one, the Quran, Islam, it gives us a code of life from day one till the last day we are in this world. And even beyond, till we are in our final destination, whether that be hell or heaven. This is a code of life. And as Muslims, or as those who are interested in Islam, just know this, that Islam is a true religion. You come become a Muslim, you accept Islam, you see the benefits, the blessings that you will gain. You will see the mercy of Allah on you. And look at one of the blessings of Islam, that you are non-Muslim. You worship either more than one God, or you worship no God at all. You drank alcohol, you committed fornication, you did so many sins. What does Islam do? You believe in one God, accept Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam to be his final prophet. Your sins are cleansed. Everything, what you did before Islam, is like it never existed. That will not be questionable. That will not be accounted for you. Now you have this new book. Now you've started the first chapter of this new book when you've accepted Islam. This is the beauty of this religion. That it does not count what you did before Islam. You had the opportunity. Now you got the opportunity to make yourself better. Now you've got the taste of Islam. You've got the faith, you've got the blessing of accepting Islam as a religion. Now is time for you to worship Allah. Now is your time to read the Quran. Inshallah, now we're going to go in the next segment of the show, daily reminder. So inshallah, after the daily reminder, we'll come back and inshallah continue this topic regarding how Islam is a true religion, how is a code of life. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear Samad, there's a countless virtues of reciting Quran are mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah. Let's listen some Hadith Mubarakah. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever recited one letter from the book of Allah, he will receive one reward, which is equal to 10. I do not say that Alif, Lam, Mim is one letter. Rather, Alif is one letter, Lam is one letter, and Mim is one letter. SubhanAllah. He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, indeed, there are some from among the mankind who are the people of Allah. The noble Sahaba radiyallahu anhum asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who are they? He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam replied, those who recite the Quran, for they are the people of Allah and his selected people. Subhanallah. Another hadith in Mubarakah, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, the heart becomes rusty just as an iron becomes rusty. It was asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, how are they cleaned? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, through the recitation of Quran and the remembrance of death. So dear Islam brothers, these are countless blessings on reciting Quran. So please recite Quran, learn the Quran and then recite as well. Our pious predecessors used to recite Quran in such a way that it's amazing. I will inshallah give you some account of those. For 30 years, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah ta'ala will complete the recitation of Quran in one unit of prayer. He prayed Fajr Salah with the wudu of Isha Salah for 40 years. Subhanallah. Similarly, Imam Malik rahmatullah ta'ala, it states in the books that Sidna Khalid bin Nazair states that I do not see anyone recite the book of Allah more than Imam Malik rahmatullah ta'ala. His sister was asked, what are the arrangements of Imam Malik rahmatullah ta'ala at home? She said, the Quran and recitation. Sayyidina Rabi bin Sulaiman rahmatullah ta'ala states that every month Imam Shafi rahmatullah ta'ala would complete the recitation of Quran 30 times and 60 times in month of Ramadan. The completion in Taraweeh was beside this. Imam Shirani rahmatullah ta'ala writes that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah ta'ala would complete one recitation of Quran every morning and one every night, and he would conceal it from people. Sayyidina Ghawse Azam rahmatullah ta'ala would complete the recitation of Quran every night for 15 years. Sallu al Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi. So that was the daily reminder, inshallah. We continue the topic, hopefully. So we were talking about how Islam is true religion, how Islam has given rights to women, has given rights to parents. Now we'll talk how Islam has given rights. Look at this, even something which we don't seem as something big, but Islam has even given rights and has given lessons to elder brothers. And it said that after the parents, Islam, this is how Islam gives a status to the elder brother, that after parents, the relationship between a sister and a brother is considered to be very close. And after the death of the parent, there is a danger that the relationship will get worse, that they might stop talking to each other. Therefore, the person Islam has honored after parents and has granted rank and esteem and taught that he must be respected and revered is none other than the elder brother. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam said, حَقُّ كَبِيرِ الْإِخْوَةِ عَلَى صَغِيرِهِمْ حَقُّ الْوَالِدِ عَلَى وَلَدِهِ. The rights of the elder brother over his younger brothers and sisters is like the right of the father over the son. This is the rights of the elder brother. He has so much right upon his younger siblings the way the father has over them. And Allah Almighty has created the same affection and love in the heart of the elder brother for his younger brothers and sisters as he has created in the heart of the father. In the presence of the father, the elder brother takes care of the younger siblings and fulfills their needs. If the father passes away, the elder brother carries his responsibilities in a good manner. All these favors of the elder brother demand that the younger brothers and sisters respect him, given the status of parents in their absence, or at least consider him to be their guardian. They should refrain from backbiting, tale-telling, and doing other things behind his back. They should, as far as possible, act upon his permissible desires and orders. They should always maintain a good relationship with him. And if he ever becomes angry, they should take the initiative and apologize to him and try their best to bring him around. And sadly, we don't see this in society. Why? Because we've not read how Islam has given rights. We see siblings, they fight, they quarrel day in, day out. And why? Just because of a piece of something small happened. Oh, back home, we have this land. It's on my name, not in your name. Why have you written your name? And etc. So just fight. And then these brothers don't want to talk for years and years and years. But when one of them passes away, then the brother will come to see his brother's face when he's passed away. What's the point then? When he was alive, he didn't care about him. But now he's passed away, you want to come and see his dead face? What's the point in that? And as brothers, as siblings, we should have this love between each other. Sometimes what happens is that we may be scared to tell our parents something. Our siblings, we should be comfortable, we should all be open with each other. We can tell each other whatever we need to say. Siblings should be in such a way that siblings need to be friends. They need to be friends with each other. And Sayyidina Jarir bin Hazim, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he has stated that I once had a dream which I saw that my head was in my hands. In order to get his interpretation, I related my dream to Sayyidina Ibn Sirin, who was an expert interpreting dreams. He asked me, are any of your parents alive? I replied in the negative, no. He then asked, do you have an elder brother? I replied in the affirmative, yes. He rahmatullahi ta'ala, he said, then keep feeding Allah Almighty, treat him well, and refrain from breaking ties with him. Allahu Akbar. And this is the respect that we need to give to our elder brothers. That Islam is teaching us that your elder brother is like your father. After your father passes away, your elder brother is going to take your responsibility. And as the eldest brothers, we should understand this as well. Understand the responsibility that we have. That we are in the place of our father for our siblings. That we need to be there and fulfill all our siblings' needs. And as elder brothers, we need to be there for our siblings. Especially when our fathers or our parents pass away. The younger siblings, they will be in a state of shock. They'll be in a state of sorrow. But as the eldest, we need to be brave and we need to be there for our siblings. If we are in the same state, then our siblings will be worse. So as brothers, as even the eldest sister, we need to be there for our younger siblings. And Islam does not stop there. Like I said, Islam is a call of conduct for every aspect of life. That no matter what you are, whatever position you have in Islam, you'll have different rulings. And there's statuses for different people. And Islam, whilst it taught the youngsters to respect the elders, it also ordered the elder to show affection and devotion to the younger people, younger brothers and sisters. It is said that whoever has three daughters or three sisters, or two daughters or two sisters, and he treats them well, and feels Allah Azza wa Jalla in relation to them, then that is paradise for him. He is not amongst us who do not show mercy to our young ones, does not pay respect to our elders, and does not fulfill our rights. Allahu Akbar. That the one who has three daughters, three sisters, two daughters or two sisters, and he treats them well and feeds Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding them. What does this mean? That he wants to treat them as best as possible. He wants to teach them about Islam. He wants to bring them an Islamic upbringing. Then paradise is for him. Paradise is for that individual. And the one who does not show mercy to young ones, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he's not from amongst us. He's not from us. So to be from the people of Islam or from those of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions radiallahu anhu, we need to show respect to our elders, our youngsters. And Islam, it guides us about how we should be and treat our other relatives as well. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. And fear Allah, in whose name you demand mutual rights, and be mindful of your blood relations. Allahu Akbar. And indeed Allah is observing you at all times. That not only our father, our children, but even our blood relatives, we need to treat them, our aunties, our uncles, we need to treat them with respect as well. And it is mentioned in Tafsir Na'imi regarding this verse, that the way Salah, fast, Hajj, Zakat are necessary for Muslims, similarly it is also extremely necessary to fulfill the rights of relatives. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala, has further said, treating relatives and near ones well is very beneficial for the one's life in the world and the hereafter. It makes all our life, death and hereafter better. If we treat our relatives better, we treat our parents better, our children better, inshallah our hereafter will be better as well. And who is considered a good relative? Who do we need to treat well? Our grandmother, grandfather, both maternal and paternal, uncles, aunties, paternal, maternal. And these also, all of these have rights. And breaking blood relatives, blood relations, is haram in an act that leads to hell. Therefore, Muslims, we need to be careful, we need to be cautious in this matter, that we should not break ties, especially blood ties. We need to understand that this is a sin as well. And if one does not help such a person at all in his acts of sins, and there is no risk of developing of ominousness of sins, then it is not wajib to severe ties with him. So if someone, there's a person who is it's like he doesn't commit sins, just a bad company, and you know if you be with him, then nothing, you're not going to start committing bad things. You're going to both do good activities. You're going to both go worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you have to keep those ties. But if you know that you're going to chill with this person and he's going to drag you to the bad company, then it's your job to advise him. But if you think your advice is not working, then you can put a step back and not speak to them. But you should always be there for that person. It's a code, it's a rule that you hate the sin, but you do not hate the sinner. That you hate a sin a person is doing, but you don't hate the actual person, the sinner. We still need to advise that sinner. You still need to inform them about what they're doing is wrong and what they should do. Inshallah, now we'll move on to the daily hadith. Inshallah, let's go on to the next segment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
The Quran, which is the clear criterion, the book for all Muslims, in fact for all mankind. If you want guidance, recite the Quran, read the Quran, understand the Quran, what the scholars have written in the commentary of the Quran. But this Quran that we have, it's not just to wrap up in a beautiful cover and place at an elevated place in our homes. No, we have to read it. We have to open it to gain fuyudat, blessings from it. And listen to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about the person who acts upon the Quran. Sayyidina Mu'adh al-Juhani radiyallahu ta'ala, he narrates this hadith which is found in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man qara al-Qur'ana, whoever recited the Quran, wa amila bima fihi, and he acts upon what is mentioned therein, his parents will be made to wear a crown on the day of judgment. Such a crown, dawuhu ahsanu min dawi shams, its luminosity will be greater than the luminosity of the sun, fi buyuti dunya. The sun, when it's shining bright, and it's as if it's inside your home because of its brightness. It's as if it's inside your home. لو كانت فيكم فما ظنكم بالذي عمل بهذا." So if this is the martaba, the rank of the parents, then what do you think about the son who himself has been acting upon the Quran? Subhanallah, what daraja will he attain on the day of judgment? So it's very important for parents and children to note this hadith. Keep it in mind. If the parents want their akhirah to be like this, they want to wear crowns on the day of judgment, and the description of the crown was given as well, then we must ensure our children read the Quran and act upon it. And the children, if they want their parents to gain such honor on the day of judgment, they must also follow the teachings of this hadith. May Allah enable us to love the Quran wholeheartedly, to recite it and understand it, and thereafter act upon it as well.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Let's carry on with the topic. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once asked that who is the best amongst people? And in life, we always want to be the best. We always want to be those who are doing the best as we can. We want to be the best in this profession. We want to be the best in this way. We want to be the best, the one with the best car. We want to be the one with the best house, with the best clothes. But who is the best amongst the people? It was asked to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, the one who fears Allah the most, the one who treats his relatives well, and the one who abundantly calls people to righteousness and forbids them from evil. Allah. That to be from the best, to be the best individual, you have to fear Allah the most. How do you fear Allah the most? That you should always know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, which will help you not to commit any sin. Treat your relatives well. It doesn't just say your mother, your parents, your relatives, your brother relatives. And call people towards righteousness and forbid them from you. This is how you will be the best individual. And this is one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam regarding how a person should treat his relatives. And this is one code of life Islam is teaching us. So inshallah, now we'll go on to the next segment of the show, which I think is the cartoon. And inshallah, when you come back, we will continue with the program. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, now we'll go on to the next short promo, and inshallah when you come back, then we'll go through more the next segment of the show. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
It is mentioned in the hadith sheaf of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when a man dies, his deeds, all of his actions, they come to an end except for three. What are these three? Number one, sadqa jariya. Number two, knowledge which he left behind, which is beneficial. And number three, a descendant who prays for him, meaning pious children, offspring, etc. If we focus, my dear viewers, on the first part, which is sadqa jariya, how can one achieve this? This can be by donating in causes that will go on forever until the day of judgment. For example,
sponsoring a masjid, a house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you were to put some money towards a masjid, inshallah that masjid will remain until the end of time, and you, after leaving this world as well, will keep remaining to gain reward for this as well. So we should try our best to donate in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially for those causes which classify as sadqa jariya, and inshallah we will see the reward of this not only in this world but also in the hereafter.
Dawat Islami UK Madani Channel, Sort Code 309773, Account Number 4363456 0 IBAN GB67LOYD 309773436 3456 0 BIC LOYD GB 21087. Your donation can be used for any permissible religious, reformatory, welfare, well-wishing, spiritual and good purpose.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa salam. Inshallah, now we will learn some sunnah and manners regarding how a person should wear shoes. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, use shoes abundantly, for when a person wears shoes, it is as if he is riding. He gets less tired as long as he is wearing shoes. So never walk barefoot. Always have shoes or sandals on. Dust your shoes off before putting them on so that insects or pebbles, if any, are removed. First put the right shoe on, then the left. When taking them off, take off the left one first, then the right. The Blue Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when any one of you wears shoes, he should start with the right, and when he's taking them off, he should start with the left. So the right foot is first when putting them on and last when taking them off. And it is mentioned that when a person enters the masjid, one should enter with the right foot. When leaving, one should leave with the left foot. And Al Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan has told us that when you enter the masjid, take the left shoe off, put your left foot on the top of it, and then take off the right shoe, and then enter with the masjid with the right foot. This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well, to enter the mosque masjid with your right foot. Men should wear masculine shoes and women should wear feminine shoes. Someone told Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha that there is a woman who wears masculine shoes. She radiallahu ta'ala anha replied that the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has cursed masculine women. Sadr Sharia Badru Tariqa Alama Mulana Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali Azmi Ali Rahmatullah Al-Kavi has stated, women should not wear masculine shoes. Furthermore, all those things which differentiate the two genders are prohibited to be copied by the opposite gender. So men should not wear women things, women should not wear men's shoes. When you sit down, take off your shoes, as this gives comfort to the feet. And one of the causes of destitution is seeing a shoe lying upside down and leaving it like that. It is said that if the shoe remains upside down, you should turn the shoe the other way around. So these are the sunnah and manners regarding wearing shoes. So we should all make a habit that we all will should, inshallah, implement these sunnahs in our daily lives. Salu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. As time passes, the greatness and the eminence of Islam is increasing speedily. Even today, Islam is welcoming those who deviated from the right path and those who lost in the darkness of disbelief. And a blessing of Dawat Islami is that through the works and activities and the religious works that Dawat Islami does, a lot of people, many non-Muslims, are repenting and from the acts of disbelief and entering into the folds of Islam. And it is said that even the books that are written by mirrors, people, they listen and read to those books, and by listening or reading the books, they become Muslims. And he said that in 2004, that some people in the capital, Zambia, they were listening to the virtues or reciting Bless the Root mentioned in the Fizani Sunnah. 25 non-Muslim prisoners embraced Islam. Allah Akbar. An Islam brother from the UK, he gifted a non-Muslim a CD to watch this. the non-Muslim played the CD, the speech, and he watched the scenes of the international ijtima, and by the blessings of the sight of Amir al-Sunnah, by seeing Amir al-Sunnah, he became so impressed that he decided the kalima and enter the fold of Islam. Allah. So on, he gifted non-Muslim the book Respect of a Muslim, written by Amir al-Sunnah. And this non-Muslim, he read it, and as a result, the devotion to Islam was firmly embedded in his heart. After a few days, this person, he accepted Islam and recited the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. This is the benefit of this environment of Dawud Islam, that Dawud Islam is such an organization that its work is all around the world. Dawud Islami works, his principle, his motto is that I must strive to rectify myself and the people of the entire world. That we need to rectify, reform ourselves, and then we need to work and reform the entire world. Dawud Islami, it works, its main activities are 12. It has 12 religious activities. Some of them are adults, tajweed classes, traveling in the way of Allah in the form of Madani Kafla, self-reflection. Another activity is giving out, calling people towards righteousness. Another activity is attending the weekly gatherings, watching the weekly Madani Muzakara. Another activity of Dawud Islami is that Dawud Islami has a certain activity where you give dars, meaning that you sit at home, you sit in the masjid, your family members or the public in the masjid, and you give them a short speech. Bring them close to the religion. And there's many other things which Dawud Islami works. Dawud Islami has worked in the prisons. Dawud Islami works in the businesses, the business industry. Dawud Islami is doing the groundwork, is doing the FGRF, Fizan Global Relief Welfare, the department or the sub-branch of Dawud Islami, the one which deals with welfare situations. Dawud Islami does many more things. The question will come, what does Dawud Islami not do? That's a good question. What does Dawud Islami not do? Dawud Islami does everything. It's a request for everyone that's watching Madani Channel that attach yourself to this beautiful environment of Dawud Islami. Attach yourself to this beautiful organization which preaches the message of Quran and Sunnah. Preaches the message of Quran, preaches the message of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Attach yourself to this environment. You'll realize the change which will bring inside yourself. A lot of people that come into Dawud Islami, who are scholars now, who are presenting on Madin channel, they were once in your situation. And someone invited them and they attended the weekly gatherings, and then they attached themselves, and now they are here presenting the shows of Madin channel, spreading the word of Islam. So today's topic was Al-Islam, which is a true religion. We learned how Islam has guidance for us in different aspects of our life. How Islam guides us how to be a parent, guides us how to respect our elder brothers. How Islam gave rise to women, how Islam abolished the slave system. So the request that any viewers of Madin channel that read more about Islam, contact us. If you want more message, more information about Islam, contact us and inshallah we'll give you the message about Islam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end.